You're listening to the Story Selling Podcast, where we help you create better content, double your impact and your revenue through the power of story and sales psychology. Here's your host, digital marketing strategist and founder of the Story Selling Masterclass, 16 Ramos.
Is network marketing on the verge of collapse? Some of you may think so, some of you may not. But take a look at the latest headlines in the network marketing world, and it will become clear that network marketing is staring at its own demise. But is it worth saving? Now, if you've never had experience in network marketing or multi-level marketing or MLM, you're probably cringing at the idea that this industry even has a chance at surviving given its reputation. When I stumbled upon it 12 years ago, I decided to treat it like any legitimate business. Excited, but with eyes wide open. Excited, but cautious. Now, the network marketing culture is far from perfection. In many ways, it self-sabotages. And for some sales team, it's a game of survival. Not of the fittest, but of the most cunning. And it has driven a lot of well-meaning, aspiring entrepreneurs into insurmountable debt because of that. So if the idea of keeping the industry alive has got you saying, please don't, I totally understand that. But take a step back and see that network marketing isn't the first venture that has burned people before, and it won't be the last. It isn't even the riskiest by far compared to financial services and crypto investments, which, despite all the horror stories, people continue to invest their hard-earned cash into. See, customer fraud and cybercrime are also the biggest issues for companies in 2022, but that hasn't stopped social commerce from becoming a nearly trillion-dollar market. So I'm saying all this because to minimize the success stories within network marketing is to diminish the good that comes with every enterprise, be it real estate, stock trading, politics, healthcare, tech, entertainment, social media, or retail, none of which would have been as meaningful to people's lives without posing a degree of risk. And the same is true with network marketing. And as with any endeavor, success in network marketing comes after due diligence, determination, and a dose of good timing. And it isn't so elusive being successful in this industry either, because stats show that direct sales accounts for 20% of all millionaires globally. So why are revenues at its lowest mark since 1992? With sales in constant decline, the number of companies leaving the DSA, that's the Direct Selling Association, is outpacing the number joining it. Massive layoffs are making headlines. Now we're facing AI domination. Now that that has been thrown into the mix, network marketing finds itself a small window of opportunity to get itself together to endure and evolve. So I'd like to offer an analysis of this and hopefully some solutions. They won't be comfortable, but it bears repeating. I dove in with both eyes open, and what I'm seeing is one last chance network marketing can save itself. I say this with a passion because its survival is imperative to the preservation of livelihoods and the stability of so many households. Realize too that in being critical of this very industry that has taught me what it truly means to be free, I come from a place of profound respect. So, critic or believer, make the effort to open your mind for just a few minutes for whatever it's worth. And I believe that effort is worth a lot. Now, 3 years ago, I took the first steps in establishing a personal brand separate from my network marketing team brand, and I'll expound on that later. Now, when I did that, in my mind, I was confident that I had cracked the code early. I really, really thought that I was early in the game, but this party has been going on for years, and I just had noise-canceling headphones on or whatever. But in creating a personal brand, I had to put on different lenses in which I consumed content. And my mission was to find out what contributes to the success of the biggest influencers and thought leaders, regardless of the industry. So I had to get out of network marketing for a while and explore what's going on. So I studied the stories of e-commerce, entrepreneurs, content creators, authors, and course creators, and became one myself. And I was astounded. You know, I really felt like a fish out of water here. I was no longer looking at $50 million in lifetime earnings. This was a number that I thought was the highest I'd ever seen in network marketing. Now I was looking at the same number for annual profits alongside eight-figure quarters for self-made brands, and some doing so with zero employees. I'm like, good Lord. So from what I saw, there isn't a shortage of talent for sure, but the most admirable strategy there is the application of speed. It's unbelievable to watch how quickly content creators take trends, join conversations around those trends, and then monetize on the buzz. So community feedback is taken and implemented almost right away. So the overarching theme in their success is speed. Ideas aren't ruminated on for a lifetime, but they're tested right away, and it's wildly efficient. Content creators and digital marketers don't watch trends happen, they influence trends by just the sheer speed of execution. So I suppose you wouldn't have the luxury of dawdling when you depend on yourself. And that, I thought, is the mindset of every network marketing distributor. The problem there is that you can only move as fast as your upline or your company does. Now, putting the full blame on the companies isn't fair, because I understand, you know, they're simply too big to match the speed their distributor force requires. There's a limit to how fast you can implement changes when you operate in multiple countries, you're bogged down by legal considerations, red tape, etc., market requirements, right? Having said that, it doesn't support how the biggest tech companies can innovate without much lead time, with the most technological innovations being led by companies such as Facebook, Amazon, and Google, among others. Because these companies have more than one thing in common besides speed. A leader with backbone. Not just vision, but backbone. So you're really going to need speed, especially now, because we're experiencing a transition from the gig economy to the creator economy. The line between creators and brands are blurring. And in this new marketing landscape, creators become brands and vice versa. So the gig economy is this. It introduced the concept of streamlining the freelancer business. So that means people could make money on the side by signing up on platforms that offer structured incentives, right, for their services or for the sale of products. So you want to think about Uber, Airbnb, Upwork, Etsy, Amazon Influencer, these platforms, right? So in a way, the gig economy added an element of certainty in terms of income and opportunity, which has made part-time projects more attractive, secure, and lucrative. So because of the gig economy, freelancing is no longer considered an unpredictable source of income, and instead it offers people control over when to earn and how much. So for the network marketing industry, the gig economy provided a relevant and supportive narrative, because the network marketing industry is all about the empowerment of the individual, right? The empowerment of solopreneurship. You can do it all. You can work from home, build a business on the internet. And the gig economy provided a relevant narrative for that. The network marketing business model was built for the gig economy, I'm going to say, because distributors are provided the products to sell, the platform to scale, and the people to train them. Some companies do. Some teams do, right? And as remote work became the preferred arrangement, the gig economy transformed itself from trend to norm. And then the pandemic happened. And with it came a wild shift in people's attention. So I remember this. I moved here in like late 2019, right? So in 2019, as the COVID scare loomed worldwide, I say here, which means the United States, I flew in from the Philippines, right? You might not know that. So the COVID scare loomed worldwide in like late in 2019. And by this time, or during this time, social media growth rate rose by 10%, with TikTok's global user growth increasing by a whopping 186% at the end of the year. Now in 2020, at the height of the pandemic, TikTok's user base grew by another 85%. And Facebook grew by 12%. Instagram grew by 25%. YouTube grew by 15%. Looking at the numbers here, Twitter, 11%. So this is a whole trend. Now, people wanted to be entertained because remember, we were locked in. Mask mandates were up and no one could get out of their homes. So people really wanted to be entertained as a way to cope with cabin fever. Now, within the same year, so we're talking about 2020, again, speed, Facebook and Instagram introduced more creator tools. If you remember, these included audio rooms, the monetization of reels, Facebook group updates, among others. And then in 2021, Facebook changed its brand to Meta to align with its vision to build commerce in the metaverse. All of these happened within a year and a half. So that trend has continued to this day. It hasn't died down. And this year, 2023, content creation has ramped up on all fronts. Talking about podcasts, blogs, video, everything. Podcast creation has grown by 40% with listener growth at 22% from 2019 to 2022. So during the pandemic, people were really listening in to podcasts. Today, one out of every five people using the internet is a podcast listener. Thank you, by the way, for listening to my podcast. And if I'm going to talk about or think about where most of my course creation revenue has come from, it comes from my podcasts. So that really says a lot. So more things. Since its launch in 2021, the number of Instagram Reels creators has grown from 2 billion and has grown to 2 billion. And it's projected to be at 2.5 billion by the end of this year. Now, let's talk about blogging. 46% of bloggers have been writing more during the COVID-19 pandemic, with 35% of them seeing a revenue increase. So people really are paying for their content and to subscribe to bloggers now. Let's talk about videos. Like 92% of video marketers get positive ROI, and 87% of them confirm that it has a direct impact on their sales, no matter what they're selling. This is HubSpot reporting this in their survey. Now let's talk about apps. Content editing apps started rolling out features weekly just to keep up with this. So all around, content creation has ramped up. And the line between creators and brands are blurring. So content creators are cornering the trade on attention. And 70% of them say that brand deals and affiliate commissions are their most lucrative revenue sources. This means that audiences aren't really only paying attention, they're also paying with actual dollars for the content and to order the products that are aligned with the brands or the people that they follow. So the priority for marketers now is creator-first marketing. Building the community comes first, and then you sell something. But that's something, whatever you're selling, has to align with your community's values too. So niche-based content wins the game. For companies that have a wide range of products, the customer segments for those products have to be made clear. Otherwise, you get watered down marketing that doesn't cut through the noise. So in order for network marketing to get ahead of this curve, it has to recognize that the creator economy is quickly replacing the gig economy at an unforgiving pace. How unforgiving? How about this? We have now entered creator economy 2.0. So if you're just realizing this now, it's 2.0. What development required this upgrade? Take a guess. None other than AI, artificial intelligence. Now that AI is here and it's empowering creators, we are no longer just relying on our own time and skills and brain power to create content. We are now empowered as superhumans, super creators because of AI. So there's a lot of things that need to happen because AI is bringing us more changes than we're comfortable with. And it doesn't care. It's sweeping virtually every industry and it doesn't wait for you to like it. So the creator economy is the incubator for AI developments where, upgrades to AI tech and platforms are happening daily as social feedback is also being given daily. And as AI becomes more advanced, content creators become more empowered. So what we're about to witness is a snowball effect in the amount of content and revenue share that will be distributed through social media and AI-related businesses. So before network marketing gets in on the action, it needs to make some fundamental changes first, and it needs to make these changes fast. So the first fundamental change is that network marketing has to plan for creator economy 2.0, which is to say they need to embrace AI-powered marketing. So the fundamental question any company needs to ask right now is, how should our current infrastructure change to support creators in marketing the brand? To answer this, it will help to learn how creators work. So a content creator's priority is serving their community, and their main currency is trust. So whatever makes the community happy, you know, as long as it aligns with the content creator's values too, that will come first. So the brands that collaborate with content creators has to understand and support the creator's general strategy of maintaining authenticity, consistency, freedom, and ownership with respect to their creativity. Let's break that down. So authenticity. Content creators align with brands that hold values similar to theirs. So network marketing companies need to work on articulating their own values in order to break through a market of like-minded creators. So, you know, you have to really be clear on what movements you support, what your values are, and really say that out loud. See, content creators are receptive to opportunity, and they will rave about a brand that supports a movement they advocate for. Okay, so the product doesn't come first. Tell me about your values. What do you stand for? That's what matters to them, because as a content creator, once your audience sniffs out that you're being inauthentic, you're dead. We're just, you know, you're going to lose us, because then they will sniff it out. So authenticity is prime. Consistency. Content creators need their branding represented in everything they do, which means customization in all aspects of their content strategy and funnels. So network marketing companies need to provide a robust support system to streamline this for the content creator. Okay, so if you're going to partner with a content creator who has been doing this for a long, long time, that probably isn't something that you're going to need to be worried about, but that's a small percentage of the kind of affiliates or distributors that people are going to be recruiting into network marketing. Chances are they won't have these at their disposal. They won't have funnels. They won't have automation. So you got to think about it from the standpoint of you being in management of a network marketing company. Do you have a robust support system that will help your distributor force streamline the creation of their brands? Okay, next item is freedom. So content creators will immediately pivot towards the demands of their community, which means flexibility is needed from the company's end. And there needs to be a system that shows how the company values feedback so that you can also implement that feedback as quickly as possible. Ownership. Content creators need to maintain ownership of their work, their time, and their network. My personal experience teaches me that the subject of affiliates owning their direct sales network will always be a topic of contention from a legal standpoint. So that has to change. The rules around access to contact information has to be revisited, because quite frankly, content creators will take that burden upon themselves to collect their audience's information anyway, and they're not about to be told to stop that now. You want to be the company that supports them in doing that. If you make it too hard for them to get access to that information, in the end, it's going to be a waste of time for them. So from an AI standpoint, companies will have half their job done for them, as most content creators will have already been using AI or at least exposed to it. So from an AI standpoint, you might have an easier time. However, the company needs to learn how to speak the same language and avoid penalizing creators for using technology that isn't within the purview of the company's compliance guidelines. During this time when AI is on the rise, you don't want to be the company that rejects something because you don't understand it. Avoid penalizing creators for using technology that isn't within the purview of your company's compliance guidelines. They're going to find another opportunity that will help them thrive using AI instead. So, okay. All of that is under how you can plan for creator economy 2.0. Let's get to this, to the next fundamental change, which is network marketing needs to support people in creating personal brands. Okay, let's talk about duplication for a second. If there's one word that isn't even within the same ecosystem as the content creator, it's this one, duplication. This means that any system that kills creativity, demands a singular direction, and insists on a uniform idea of what success looks like will be abandoned for another opportunity where the content creator wouldn't bear the same oppression. That having said, structure, not duplication, is welcomed in the creator economy. Courses and coaching businesses are a fine example of this, where structure exists in order to educate newcomers on the ropes, but are at some point given the opportunity to exercise their own judgment, their own creativity, and their independence after the foundational work is done. So there can be one big vision, but there shouldn't be only one path to it. Say, we want to help you be free and make money from network marketing. Okay, give them the rules. What are the products? What are the prices? Who's the company? Provide the structure to educate them on the foundational stuff. But then after that, there has to be training about personal branding so that they can be independent afterwards. So the creation of a personal brand for individual members, not a duplication system, has to be the priority within network marketing teams. And this should feel like the natural step by now, because brand building was the point of the last 8 years ever since network marketing entered the social media movement. But now we are shifting from team brands to personal brands. Within the creator economy, individuality is strength. This means that effort has to be put into training your best leaders how to identify their niche, talk to their tribe, find their voice, and master a certain style of content creation that feels authentic to them. A team brand can still exist, okay? But within the structure of that group, there has to be a natural handing over of people's responsibility for their own brands. In other words, the most creative leaders in network marketing will need to put together a comprehensive personal brand training at grassroots level. Doing this has multiple benefits for sales leaders and their teams. The first is that as a leader, you get to teach your team to be independent as a part of your overall strategy. This frees up time and brain power for you. The only reason you will not like this idea is ego, I'm going to say. Okay, relevance has got to be not even secondary goal, because that's exhausting. The goal has to be impact and efficiency. So you got to be thinking about how soon can you let them go? How soon can you build your leaders up enough that they have confidence and fly with this? Because for as long as you're relevant to their success, or crucial to their success, even worse, and maintain the hand-holding system for years, that's forever going to be your duplication system. Second advantage to the training of personal branding is you instantly elevate the quality of affiliates that come into your team. When a personal brand is strong, it attracts an engaged community with aligned values. Imagine that power multiplied by 100, and you have a diverse network of happy affiliates that are aligned with your vision. They understand why they are there. They understand the why immediately. And when a group of people understands why they're doing this, they will follow you. They will take this to new heights. Third benefit to having personal branding is that you equip your team with a clear-eyed marketing strategy that revolves around understanding their unique audiences. instead of having them believe the crippling lie that anyone and everyone needs the product they're selling. Because in every single event, we have been programmed that the products are great, and they are. But we've also been told that everyone needs this. Anyone that you talk to will absolutely love this. And distributors hold that belief, and they go online and they start talking about their products, and surprise, surprise, no one's clicking. No one wants it. No one wants to buy, because they weren't taught to value their unique audiences. They weren't taught to find a niche for their product. They weren't taught sales skills. I'll get to that later. So instead of telling your team this crippling lie, equip them with the skills that will help them understand their unique strengths and their unique audiences so that they can approach social media strongly with a robust online presence and a personal brand. Third fundamental change that needs to happen is that network marketing needs to quit punishing people for creativity. Instead, you should encourage creativity. You see, content creators are already working within social media's restrictions. Now, while the FTC compliance will always be a reality within network marketing, it is worth having a conversation about how the legal departments within companies can be more forgiving and supportive of the creative process. Be our partners, not our detractors. Lead the industry by encouraging creativity instead of stifling it. Eisenhower once said, "You don't lead by hitting people over the head. That's assault, not leadership." So don't stifle creativity. Company management needs to work with their internal legal teams in restructuring guidelines so that the network marketing industry can finally stop losing its most highly skilled creators over rules that weren't established in the creator economy in the first place. So let me tell you this. In recruiting my first few leaders, the big picture possibility I painted was a life of freedom and recurring income, a paycheck they can rely on, a company that supports them. Now, I play the role of a sales leader, but I'm a mentor first. I'm their friend first. And if the rules prevent me from making good on my word, then my ethics compel me to teach my team alternative ways of learning or earning. This, I'm not just saying that. This isn't theory. I have had to write some of my best leaders' account termination request letters myself. And I was happy to do that too, because my word was that I'd help them make money and be free. But if the moment they become creative and try something out of the box, compliance gives them a note in their email and says, "Hey, welcome to the company. And by the way, you need to take down these posts. Oh, and you award your best sales leaders with a free trip." And then you email them, "Oh, by the way, we're holding this until you delete the post you did like 5 years ago." What is the point of that? How is that productive? Honestly. So if the company makes it hard for them to earn a living without the headaches, then I will guide them towards an opportunity that will do that. Which brings me to the next item. The next fundamental change, which is network marketing needs to understand who its real competition is. And it's not other network marketing companies. It's other income opportunities like Amazon Influencer, Shopify, Kajabi, Etsy, Patreon, Substack, Anchor, Pietra, and many other platforms that allow creators to thrive. These platforms have mastered the art and science of predicting customer behavior. Ease and personalization are recurring themes for these platforms. And with AI, you can set up an ecosystem around your personal brand within a week. Within a few days, you can have an automated, tested, and fully functioning sales funnel without spending a dime. See, the creator economy generation is only patient with one thing: gathering data after they've already executed. So they want to create profits as soon as possible. So network marketing companies need to not only keep up with this pace, but also provide an infrastructure that will provide front-end customization and back-end support. To build that properly, you'll need input from the creators themselves. So collaboration is a great strategy. AI is too big to beat, So the best move is to make it work for you, right? So company management needs to do a deep dive into the marketing strategies their distributor force implements with the intention to discover the gaps that AI can fill. And then provide that infrastructure for your distributor force to access, okay? And then I'm going to talk about one last fundamental change, which is network marketing needs to align their campaigns or realign their campaigns towards strategies that value customer creation. So the sales strategy here has to be or has to revolve around customer creation, the creation of new customers instead of selling to your own reps, okay? Customer creation has to remain the core of every system. And for network marketing, this means getting or ensuring that retailing success is preeminently recognized and incentivized over any other activity, especially now that the FTC is pressing harder against the requirement that 70% of all direct sales have to come from non-distributors, aka customers. So approximately 10% of all network marketing distributors decide to do the business full-time. The other 90% does it part-time, right? So you'll be facing the same reality within the creator economy. For the most part, a customer-forward narrative will be the narrative of choice. From that pool of customers, a targeted segment of people will choose to build a business around the product they love. Okay, so for companies, you're going to need to strengthen your customer creation platform with AI by introducing social listening and predictive algorithms that distributors can use and access themselves. That last part is crucial. I'm not talking about companies having AI technology that makes a difference only from their standpoint. This technology, this infrastructure of social listening and predictive behavior, etc., has to be accessed by the distributor force as well. Otherwise, it's just a fancy narrative that we have. And from the distributor standpoint, it's still the same business. So a customized experience with AI throughout the entire customer journey will lessen attrition and abandoned cart rates, which is key because sales are dwindling, right? Now, you could leave it to your distributor force to implement the AI technology on their own, but then you'd be making the same exact moves that put you behind as an industry in the first place. So create the infrastructure and have them access this at the same time. Now, for sales leaders, teach actual sales skills. I cannot stress this enough. Teach actual sales skills. The era of we share, we don't sell has gone by, and it did not empower teams one bit because you only actually make money when you close a sale. So sell, but learn how to do it within the context of what works for social media. No amount of incentive trips, hand-holding, follower count, and high energy events will be able to fix the gap in your team's sales skills, customer service competency, and mastery of overcoming objections. There are no shortcuts, but everyone can learn if they have a devoted leader to guide them. Okay. I don't want to make this any longer, but I want to point out an often overlooked advantage that network marketing has. In all the markets in the world, I have not seen an industry that has had more success in pooling together the most resilient individuals and determined visionaries. While network marketing companies are now facing a season of painful change, it's always had one thing going for them. It's the ability to bring out the greatness in people. And there has never been a more brutal test to that ability than having to adapt to the changing of times. And now is not a time to react, but a time to influence, a time to move, a time to unlearn, a time to lead. I have faith in this industry, and it's time it showed faith in itself once again. In the wise words of General Eric Shinseki, if you don't like change, you will like irrelevance even less. This has been the Story Selling Podcast. Thank you for listening in and have a great week ahead. Check out the descriptions if you want to learn more about my content, listen to some more episodes, and possibly collaborate together. I'll see you on the next episode. Bye.
You've been listening to the Story Selling Podcast. Catch you again next time for a brand new episode. If you like this topic or have a story you'd like to share, reach out and visit 16ramos.com.